Parak Gimel, Mishnah Hey. There's a mitzvah to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year. So Yovel is a jubilee year every 50 years. We'll explain exactly what it is, what we do in this Yovel year. But there's a mitzvah to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur during the Yovel year. And what is it for? To notify on the Shichur Avadim that the slaves are now free on the Yovel year. And Hachzaras Ha'achuzas L'Baal Land, that land is returned to its ancestral heritage. So if someone sold a plot, 50 years ago, at the Yovel year, it gets returned to the original owners. So that's the two significant things that we learned today that happens in Yovel. And in the Yovel year, on Yom Kippur, they would blow the shofar. And our mission is coming to teach us now that on the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, we are Noheg, we are accustomed just like Rosh Hashanah. So let's see. Shava HaYovel, Yovel, the Yom Kippur of Yovel, is comparable to Rosh Hashanah, that what? Letekia, for the blowing of the shofar, that by both of them we use a shofar of a Yael Pashut, of a ram, which horns are straight, a female ram, because we learn that from a pasuk, Vavarta shofar trua b'chodesh ha-shvi'i, that you should use a shofar in the seventh month, and in the seventh month you have both Rosh Hashanah and you have Yom Kippur. So you use a shofar on both. Okay. Vila brachos are also equal to brachos, meaning on Yom Kippur, during the Yovel year, we daven just like we daven on Rosh Hashanah, whereby in Musaf, we mention Malchios, inaugurating God as our king, Zichronos, remembering the acts of our avos, of the patriarchs, and Shofros, we mention the blowing of the shofar in the actual tefillah. So just like on Rosh Hashanah, we mention Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, so too on this Yom Kippur, we do the same. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Barosh Hashanah, Token B'Shal Zecharim. He argues, he says, no. On Rosh Hashanah, we use a shofar of a male ram. B'Shofar Shal Ayel, of a male ram. Because those shofars, they're bent. And we explained earlier that this is coming to hint that a person is bent over, right? He bends over his head in tefillah, in humility. So therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, we use a bent horn. Uba Yovel, and Yom Kippur of Yovel, since the blowing of the shofar is to show Cheres, freedom, not that we're bent over begging for mercy, that we should be judged for a good year. Right here, it's Rosh Hashanah is we're coming before God bent over, begging for a good year. This is resembling the freedom of the slaves, right? So therefore, B'shal Ya'elim, no, we would blow the shofar of a Ya'el, which is a female ram, which is straight. And he argues on the Tanakhama. However, B'taniyos HaKol Modim, regarding a fast, right, we said that the rabbis made a fast amongst all the Klal Yisrael to daven for some kind of particular tzara, there's an enemy on them, and there's no food, there's a famine. They would set up these fasts to pray for God's mercy. So by those fasts, everyone agrees that they would blow with a shofar of an aisle, of a bent shofar, because we're coming before God bent over pleading for mercy. And the Yerushalmi explains that Tiknu kafaf l'kafaf u'pashat l'pashat. The bent horn is for the bent, the straight horn is for the straight. What does that mean? Meaning we blow a shofar which is bent at the time when our hearts are bent over, like on Rosh Hashanah, and we blow a shofar which is straight at the times when our hearts are straight, like over here Yom Kippur, that falls out on the Yovel year, showing the freedom of the slaves, right? The Od Amar B'Yushalmi, furthermore, we said in the Yushalmi, Tiknei Matzi L'Matzi, and Eni Matzi L'Eni Matzi. Common for the common, uncommon for the uncommon. Meaning, Rosh Hashanah, which is common every single year, we blow with a shofar of an isle of a ram, the bent one, right? Which is common as well. Whereas Yom Kippur, on Yovel, it's not common, it's only once in every 50 years, we blow something which is not common, which is the Ya'el, which is the straight horn of the female ram. Okay, that's it for Mishnah Hey. Moving right along to Mishnah Vav. Shofar Shin Nistak. If you have a shofar, they got a crack in it. A crack along the arco, the length of the shofar. V'dibkoi, and then you glued it with glue, right? Or you did a chimum be'esh, you put it next to fire and you melted it together. Possible the shofar is invalid. According to Rashi, explains that Shinisak Lagamri. So Rashi explains what's this case. The case is that it's totally split in half, the two pieces, right down the middle, right? Whereas according to Tosfos, he explains that Nistak is it only gets cracked mitzad echad from one side along the length over the whole thing. Okay. So according to Rashi, he explains it's totally split in half along the length. According to Tosfos, it's split along mitzad echad arkat, along one side on the side of the shofar, but it goes across the whole entire shofar. Others explain that even if it's cracked, a little crack, sedek katan, a small crack along the length, again the shofar is going to be invalid. Why? Because once you start blowing it, the crack will grow even more, and we just look at it as if it's totally cracked in half from the beginning. That's how we look at it. Okay, that's Rabbeinu Yonah said, different explanations. But they do explain, here's the key point, that all these cracks are along the length. If it's cracked along the width, then the Braisa teaches us that if you have left over the amount to blow the shofar, right, let's say you have a long shofar, but it's cracked along the width, but remaining from the crack, you still have enough to make a valid shofar, then it's kosher. Meaning, the amount to make a shofar kosher is the amount of a tefach, right, about a hand's breadth. That if you hold a shofar in your hand, a little bit pops out towards your mouth, a little bit pops out away from your mouth. If you have that size of the shofar, then it's kosher. So here, if it's cracked along the width, as long as I have that minimum amount left, then I can still use it and then it's kosher. But if it's cracked along the length, it's nothing to do, because the length will follow the whole shofar. That's important to point out. Okay, next case. D-big shivei shofar. So if you glued together the pieces of the shofar. So you have a shofar that was split along the width into two pieces or into three pieces. Okay, now this is along the width, not along the length. And then he takes each piece of the shofar, right? Okay, so this case is he has a shofar, and it's split along the width in two or three places, and he glues them all together. The shofar is invalid. Because here, each piece that was split, that cracked, is not big enough to be an independent shofar. So now it won't help to glue them all together, and that's why this case is invalid. However, if one of the pieces that were split did have the amount to be considered a shofar, has the size of a hand's breadth, that if you hold it in your hand, part of it sticks out towards your mouth to blow, and part of it sticks out away from your mouth, out of your hand, then ein hadvakas achalakam b'sasas shofar. The fact that you now glued other pieces together will not invalidate it, because technically I have a kosher shofar here. And the fact that I'm gluing more pieces to it would not invalidate it. So that case would be kosher. The only case that's not kosher is if each part which is glued together is not big enough to be a shofar in and of itself. But if one of them is, then the fact that I added more to it would not invalidate it, and it would be kosher. Next case, knee cave. If the shofar got a little hole in the shofar, ustama, then he seals up the hole. And the Gemara explains he seals it up with the min of the shofar, meaning he takes a piece of another shofar and fills up the hole of this shofar. Okay? So now, im ma'akev es hatakia, if this hole would be ma'akev the tkiya, it would prevent the blowing from the other shofar to be blown properly, right? She'if shahila tkoa b'shofar zek shaynakev, that when it had the hole, it was impossible to blow it. And now that you're sealing it up, you could blow it. So puzzle, still invalid. Why? Because the whole reason why it's only kosher is because you sealed it up. And that can't, you can't have a shofar which is, the only way to blow it is because of the seal. So if the only way to blow it is when it's sealed, but when it's not sealed, it won't blow at all, it's no good. But if the hole wasn't so severe, and in my neck of lohaya ma'akim is tkiya, and in the shayna stima malida is called shofar, shri avkodim shisam lohaya ikav tkiya, avvisham machmas stima nasa called sol yoter kosher shofar. So in simple English, if the hole is not such a bad hole, and yes, I've sealed it up with a piece of another shofar to make sure it's sealed, but had that hole be there, I could still blow the shofar. So now, I'm blowing in a kosher shofar, it's just there's a little hole there. So I seal it up for, you know, so the appearance looks nice, or to make sure it's okay. But if I'm able to blow it, even with the hole there, then sealing up that hole would be okay. And then the shofar would be kosher. And the chiddush here is that even though now with this little, you know, cork in the shofar, it may make the sound even more beautiful and more clearer, it's only enhancing the sound. It's not creating a totally new sound. And therefore, in this case, it would be kosher and you could use it on Rosh Hashanah. And that wraps up Mishnah Vav.